and let them have dominion.
A word from Jesus is all you need to breathe again, to live again. Chains are broken, God is revealed. Praise the leaders to transform the world. Dominion City welcomes you today.
Dominion City, raising leaders that transform society.
The five ways you benefit from the spirit within. You know there's an anointing within, but each gift is a cluster inside it. Fruits that grow in clusters. Grapes, bananas grow in clusters. So when you cut down one banana, this thing, you see so many. When you cut down a grape, this thing, you're holding it. That's how this is. It's a cluster of seven. A cluster of seven. John chapter 14. From verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. Then I'll ask the Father. Yes, verse. I'll pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. Take note. The anointing within abides for how long? When you hear people say you can lose the anointing, the anointing you can lose is the one upon. If you start misbehaving, you can get to a point. But even when you lose it, the purpose, the calling is still there. Just that the enablement will be gone. If there is repentance and restitution, that will return. The anointing within is not lost. The reason is that the day a person loses it, he dies twice. He dies a second time. Because that anointing within resurrected you from spiritual death and gave you the divine life. So you have regained back what Adam lost in the garden when he fell. But if he's ever lost, and there's only one thing that can make a person lose it, but I don't want to discuss that. I don't want anybody going, have I committed? No, forget about that. Because the qualification to commit that sin, many of you here don't meet it. There are five qualifications. It's a very, very mature believer that God has shown his glory in dimensions. And there are five levels. The Bible made it clear. Those are the ones that can commit it. Young believers can even say the same thing or do it. God will still forgive him, like children. Now, one thing you need to know about that statement, the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. Jesus gave us a guarantee that he will never abandon us. He will never leave us. He will never. It's the believer that can decide to divorce Christ. God keeps covenant. He doesn't believe in divorce. And this thing that we call divorce is not even backsliding. When a believer backslides, that spirit within will be there and still be troubling him, still be convicting him while he's misbehaving. But there is a level he can cross where he finally rejects Christ's offer and salvation and rejects, and that Holy Spirit leaves. If he ever leaves, you become possessed and you will never be born again. You will never be forgiven again. No human being, not even Jesus, can bring you to repentance again. Don't play with your salvation. It's not for sale. But remember, once that happens, the scripture has a word for it. The person has gone into apostasy because an evil spirit will take that place that the Holy Spirit used to occupy. An evil spirit will take it. And nobody can free him from it, not even Christ. That is the only one type of demonic activity that there is no deliverance for. The man dies twice. So it rarely happens because people who truly have deep experience with Christ rarely turn away from him. They may stumble into sin, fall. That is not what he's talking about. The Jesus that taught you forgiveness practices it. He even taught 70 times 7. Am I correct? He practices what he preaches. So when believers mess up, he forgives them. Even when they stumble, some of them even go. Sometimes you see Christians that have drifted, gone into the world. His mercy will still be following them. If they die in that state, it's a different thing. That's when they can go to hell. But as long as they are alive, and one day they wake up and turn back to him, God forgives, and he doesn't just forgive, he forgets. Can I hear an amen? Don't be here now and let the devil be trying to disturb you with certain things that happened in your past. No, this time around, don't let that repeat itself. Can I hear an amen? So Jesus practices what he teaches. He taught, of course, if not, Peter will not be in ministry. You know, he denied him. Paul that killed believers won't be in ministry. I think you should show them now. Is it on 1 John 5? All unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin unto death that can kill somebody that has been born again. A sin. Not many sins. It's not fornication. It's not adultery. As even though they are bad and they are very, very, it's not lying. It's rejecting Christ after you have known him. It's not backsliding. It's not facing temptation or persecution, and then you probably, it's not that. All unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin unto death. And when somebody commits that, the next verse said, don't pray for him, because your prayer won't help. It won't change anything. 16, yeah. If a man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, your job is pray for your brother that is. You shall ask, and he shall give in life for them that sin not unto them. Just pray for him, and God will restore him. But that's all general sin. Every sin is 99.9 over 10% of all sins. But there is a sin unto death. And that one, I do not say you shall pray for it, because your prayer will be useless. You see, I don't want to discuss that, because I don't have the time to do full discussion on it and even show you the qualification. Because sometimes when they teach it in Satan now utilizes it. A believer does, he says, you have done the sin unto death. Can't you see that you are not feeling God's presence at all? It's because he has abandoned you. It's a lie. Most of the time when you see a Christian that gets mad after being a believer, this is the lie Satan told them. God has abandoned you. He has completely, and he will not forgive you. And they believe that he can drive them crazy. Yes. Most of the time, what is standing between them and healing is receiving forgiveness. So, that's why you should preach the right gospel that build people up and not, you see, rightly handling the word of the truth. Very important. Okay. Because I have touched this, let me just, for the sake of somebody here whom the devil want to, you know, tell cock and bull story. He tried it on me when I was still growing as a believer. Because there was one time I was really believing God for something. Actually rain, and I was even going out to preach. And I rebuked the rain. It stopped until I dressed up in my suit and went out. And then it started drizzling. And I got very angry. I said, Lord, you cannot tell me I did not believe because I fasted. Don't tell me that crap about not believing. You are the one that failed. I did what you said. How can this thing be drizzling? The moment I now turned, said, don't tell me. The thing now opened on me. Soak me. I said, no way. You think I will run? I will not run. If you send me to hell, I will tell everybody there that you lied. Do you know what happened? That came right beside me and lifted. I'm telling you, you know this, it struck right beside me. I actually thought I died because I fell on the floor. I said, hey, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean it. I was telling you, kill me before. No one, Elijah was saying, kill me, I'm not better than my father. If you wanted to die, why didn't you wait for Jezebel to take your head?
It was a big lesson for me. Oh. If you give the devil opportunity, young just came out of secondary school. Oh. We have had the revival in secondary school. And then, this rain now opened, soaked me away, soaked the Bible I was carrying. I said, I'm not running. Was it not you I was going to represent? And you said, go and do evangelism. It's there. These signs will follow the Bible. Why are you not keeping your word? And when I now say, kill me, I will tell everybody in hell that you lied. Thunder. And he lifted me, threw me on the floor. I actually thought I had died. And I was on the floor, and rain was falling on me. It was a second thunder beside me. Why it didn't even kill me? I don't understand that. But it shook me very well. And the whole environment was shaking. Everywhere was turning. Because when I finally lifted my head, I was turning until finally my head calmed down. I realized that I'm still alive. Thunder. Lightning. You know what I took off to an uncompleted building inside the place. I said, please, sir, I don't want to die. I'm really sorry. I said, hey, plead, you know. And then the Lord said, you have only met one small agent that I created. You can't even withstand thunder. You think you can talk to me? Do you know what hell looks like? Have the gates of hell been shown to you? He asked me a series of questions. You know, when I studied Job, where Job had... I relate. You know, if you are the stubborn type, don't worry, God has your mercy. He has your mercy. I was broken by force. But then, see the sad thing. I was in that uncompleted building and slept off there. Then finally I got up, you know, and went to a friend's room. I didn't go back to my, and stayed there. I was sleeping. And some people were looking for me to speak in the program because the rain stopped. And the number of people we planned for the program tripled. It was triple that number that came. The same thing I was telling God that he failed in because my anger is he has scattered the program. It was an open air. Well, I think it had covering or whatever. So, and the people were singing and waiting for me, and they didn't. The preacher is missing. And finally, I don't know who traced me, and they came there and found me. I said, no, let them get somebody else to preach. Forget about it. I didn't tell them what happened, you know. Say, I'm not well, you know. But after they left and went, I dressed up and just went to confirm that God failed. Because they told me the kind of crowd that is there. When I got to the one that's supposed to preach, was now standing at the back. And I was repenting. The devil said, you have committed the unpardonable sin. A whole almighty God. You insulted him like that. I was a baby trying to step out into the things of the spirit. Just that they taught us that you can do this, and I was really believing and I stepped out. You know, like you go out first and you lay hands on one blind eye, doesn't see another. Ooh, lay hands. Keep laying hands. You will see those eyes start seeing. These are things I have learned. Let go and let God. Don't push people. So that's part of what I didn't know, that when you speak, you stand your ground. You don't look at circumstance. Who has taught us faith now? Even when the circumstances are completely opposite, ignore it, just forget about it. After a while, your attention will be called back to what you have said. It has happened. So when he caused the fig tree, he forgot about it. All of them too forgot. They went on their assignment. It was the next day when they were passing. Peter said, "Ah, Lord, oh, see the fig tree that you caused. It has withered. If you are looking for it to wither the first time, you see green things and you start saying, look at it. There are sometimes you rebook sicknesses and the symptoms are still showing. Forget about it. Haven't you noticed what happens to demons when you rebook? They are calling, ooh. That's what happens to fowl when you cut off their neck. You cut off the neck of a fowl or go to where they are killing cow, they cut the neck off. It will be jerking. That's why they tie the leg, tie there. It will be jerking and it will spill blood on people. So that jerking is what you see. You say the thing has not died. If it died, why is it still shaking? You go and cut down a tree. You come 1 hour after, the leaves are still green. That's what you are saying, it has not died. But you have disconnected it from life. Forget about the leaves. Go your thing. Go your way. You will come back. In some cases, it might be a few days old. Don't let it bother you. A few days, you will see all those leaves now what? Wither. I have not been trained like that. So I didn't know. I thought everything must be instant. Of course, some are instant. The thing dies the moment you spoke to it. The manifestation of that death starts then until... You know what happens? You have pedaled a car and you're on speed going down a hill. If you fired it, then you switch off the engine. The car will still be moving even though the engine is off. Eh? But it will move, move, move. After a while, you see it now moving like this. Finally. You don't say, what's going on? I've turned off the engine. It's still moving. It's a fake. The scientists are fake. Mechanical engineering. I don't believe in it. That's what I was saying. I just put to work the law of the spirit. That when faith is released by speaking, it creates what you have said. But after putting it, I say, ah, it's a lie. It's a lie. You know, there is an AC that I have in my house. You take the remote, you switch it off, the AC will still be blowing. In first time, and then I will put it on again because I'm trying to switch it off. Then I'll switch it off again. It will still be blowing. Then to switch it, I press again. It will come on. Then I press again. It will switch off again. But it's still blowing. Then, and I keep quiet and I was. Then it will blow 2 minutes. You see, phew. That's their design. You press our song, it goes off. I have a gen like that. When it's turned off, you will see me. So, demons like fowls, when you cut off the neck, yes, checked out. But it was cut off when you spoke. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So, the devil. Thank God, my friend found Kenny Hagin book that taught on the unpardonable sin. And he gave the conditions. 5 conditions the Bible gave. Maybe I should show it to you. Hebrews chapter 6. Go to living the elementary doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to maturity, because it's only mature people that can commit the sin we're talking about. Leaving the elementary doctrines of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Let us not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. He listed the foundational doctrines, and when he finished, then verse 2. Yes, he continued when he finished, verse 4. Okay, he now wants to talk about the unpardonable sin. This is for those who are matured. He said, for it is impossible. Look at the 5 conditions before you can commit it. Number 1, for those who were once enlightened. That means your eyes have been opened to the truth of salvation, to the truth of the gospel. And number 2, who have tested the heavenly gift. That means you've received salvation. Or the gift of Christ that God gave to the world. It's not just that you're... Because there are unbelievers who are enlightened, but they have not made a commitment. They are still postponing.
But you have gone beyond that. You have received it. Tested of that heavenly gift. You have experienced salvation. If it is these two conditions only, then I will have qualified. Because I was saved. Then number three, and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So you have experienced these things we are talking about, the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you have gone beyond salvation. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can see the person qualified to commit this. You can't until you meet the five conditions. So for me too, if it was just at this level, I think I qualified, because I had also gotten to the point of Holy Ghost baptism, and that's where I stopped. Then number four, I have tested of the good word of God. This is what is called the meat of the word. Some of it coming this week, some of it, but it's people that have actually known the Lord deeply. And that's what I didn't have. I was still dealing with milk. That's why I didn't even understand ordinary how faith works. I didn't understand it. The meat of the word. Not milk. He said, let's leave the milk, the elementary doctrines, and move to maturity. Then number five, the fifth qualification is, you must have tested of the powers of the age to come. You know, the powers, when we move into the millennium, when we move into after the rapture, the powers of that age, you are functioning in it now. That's what is called the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially power gifts. Because these things that are given to you in trickles, in small, then it will be your normal senses, like revelation gifts. You know, Paul said, now we prophesy in parts, we know in parts, but then we will know as we are known. The way you have the five senses now, these things will be your normal senses, just like God and Jesus and angels. You will be here and be listening to what's happening in your house while you are in the service. Something goes wrong, the children are doing this, you know. And it's not just that you hear, you see it, and you are here. When you come back, they want to tell, like, you tell them exactly everything that happened. If there is one something they hid, you tell them where you hid it. But you know the amazing thing? If your children also made heaven, they will be functioning at that level. Because that will also be their senses. So you see why then you wouldn't need prophecy. You wouldn't need word of knowledge. What is the person trying to tell you? You have also seen it. You wouldn't need healing. Everybody's walking in health. Not to fall sick. What we will take with us beyond here is hope, faith, and love. These three abide. And the greatest is love. Love is the culture of heaven. That's the culture of the place we are going to. That can't admit anybody who is a hater, who gossips, who backbites there. No. Somebody who brings strife. You can't enter there. They have another republic where Satan is the king. That's where they are putting all such people. It's called hell. So, a person that has not functioned in the power of the age to come cannot. It's after God has shown you his mighty work and used you at that level. That's why he told Moses, even when Moses asked for forgiveness, he said, you're not entering the promised land. He didn't go to hell, though. But he said, because of the level that I have shown you myself, I've even appeared, talked with you face to face, you can still misrepresent me before people. So the unpardonable sin, or the sin unto death, is to turn your back on Jesus and reject Christ after he has shown you himself at such a depth. It's not all other sins are forgivable sins. But to divorce the person that loved you and has shown you himself. I want you to take note, because I've seen people that it has happened to. As you are moving into the deep things of God, one of the things that must not be compromised is your faith. Don't ever, it's not compromised. All those days of backsliding and coming back, they have ended for you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, those that have done this, they have tested of the good word of God. And he said it's impossible for those people. Yes, verse, one more verse. If they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. They won't even repent. But I'll rather take bullets in my head than reject. Let me use this opportunity to say this. God was talking to me one night. He said, as the days are coming that we should start preparing the saints for the coming of the Antichrist and for the coming of Jesus. Those two important things. Because some are not ready. Persecution is going to come later as destiny start counting down towards his coming. He said, but let the saints know, because those days will look so dark, so horrifying. Let them know that the church have passed such seasons before. That the early church went through horrifying experiences. But he now said, tell them, where is Herod today? Where is Nebuchadnezzar throwing people into fire? Where is Pharaoh? Ask them. Where is Pilate? He said, all evil have a short lifespan. Where is Haman that wanted to wipe out the Jews? He said, the days of Antichrist is the days of manifestation of such level of dictatorship, but in a concentrated version. It's just a man that Satan takes over. And he will use him to exercise hatred against God's people and the children of Israel, the church and Israel. And he said the full number of years he's given to manifest is 7. And his wrath, the depth of his wrath is only for 3.5 years. Let the brethren know it's a short while. That's why the secret of that time is endurance. Let people start learning how to endure trials. It's just 3.5 years. But you know, some people will throw away eternity for that. Because let me tell you something about sickness. When you are sick, the night looks like the morning will not come. I don't think you heard me. Let me tell those here and be sure they. You know, have you ever had fever? Or malaria in the night? It will look like that night will not finish. Because you are turning in the bed. You need to go, maybe go to hospital. The temperature is so terrible. But guess what? The same 6 hours, if you can just endure it, then the morning will come. And watch all such fever. Once you start getting to 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6, they vanish. Your temperature goes down. That's why it says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes when? So now, in your life, there are seasons of trials. There are seasons of intense temptation. It comes in ministry. In ministry, Satan just comes. Seasons of intense. But how long? Usually, some weeks, some months. There has been even some cases that even lasted. But Job's own trial lasted for 9 months. When you read it, you think for all his life, he was now suffering. That 9 months looks like it will not end. I think I hear you talk about the one year that is missing in your life. When we even calculate it, it might not even be up to 12 months completely. It might be somewhere in the neighborhood of that. But he was in hospital with his legs hanging. It will look like tomorrow would not come. At such moment, what is required is the fruit of the Spirit called long-suffering or endurance. And then when you pass through it and come to the other side, God promotes you so much and he pays you for past, present, and future. Because right after that 3.5 years that will be horrible, the church will now return here to rule for 1,000 years. And those who overcame will be wearing crowns and administering kingdom. And you know, one of the most amazing things God is going to do for us is going to give us the privilege of judging even the Antichrist, the church. Because they're all human beings. He said the saints will judge the world. It will be our turn. And there's no forgiveness there. All this one, love your neighbor, that some of you are preaching. You need to understand that they are balancing the gospel. That day, you want love, get forgiven now while you are alive. It will be our turn. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Leave one hand. Say, Lord, I will be faithful. It doesn't matter what it is.
Couples, take note of that. There are times Satan mounts pressure on marriages. It will look like, and then what people do, they lack the fruit of this, we call long suffering. They lack the one called self control. They lack the one called meekness that helps you keep your destiny under check. So they jump out of their marriage. And they jump from frying pan to where? And then a few years after, when you meet them, maybe the man has remarried or whatever, you meet the person. His life is messed up. But the day we talk about the 14 restrictions for the anointed, you will see one of the restrictions is who you marry. There's a type of girl you don't marry if you carry the anointing on your head. There's a type of man you don't marry if you carry the anointing on your head. God, that choice of marriage cost a lot of damage before God restored. There are seasons the pressure comes, the night comes. It's for a while. When you guys now endure it, it's fruit of the spirit that you need at that period. Things like meekness, things like temperance, things like endurance, long suffering. When you finally come through, your friendship, the depths of that marriage moves to a realm that is mind-boggling. Weeping may endure for a night. If you go through Job's journey, don't curse God. And sometimes you don't understand why. Just trust him. That's one of the reasons we need faith. When we don't understand, we can still trust God. And what you do with trial is pass through. Don't stay inside. Eh? Pass through it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You come out on the other side with stars, with promotion. I think you need to show them the scripture I said, that there is a special anointing. It's the Peter that was there. That the spirit of glory, this last level, comes upon people that has gone through things. Because, you see, let me tell you, if people have not been through the refining furnace, they don't even know how to deal with other human beings. They are easy to condemn and destroy and other. There are just some things they don't understand. Think it not strange concerning the fairy trials, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you. Because some Christians are not trained like, they think it's strange. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceedingly. This one is during the rapture. That's not the one I'm talking about. He said, when you partake of Christ, the spirit of glory and of God don't rest on you. This one is on earth. This one is when he comes, you will be glad because you're going to be paid for it. But on earth, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You see it now? What is the reward? For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. I used to cry, why me? And one of the things about me, he doesn't promote me easily. He will let me stay. But finally, I get there. But I used to wonder, what did I do? Why did you hate me? Why is it that I see other ministers? And then when I finally get there, I look for those people I thought that passed me. They have vanished. And the Lord was telling me that people I love are the ones I chastise. I take time in their training. Don't think it's hate, it's love. The devil used to walk on my mind, though, growing up. Yes, he did some work on me. I was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He said, God doesn't care about, look at what you have, your father has disowned you. Is that what you're supposed to get? Because if you listen to PCJ's teaching about the cross, only what Jesus died to give you, you're getting half. There is the cross that you have to experience, where you're going to carry your cross in following him. That's when you complete the revelation of the cross. That side of the cross will pain you. The five ways you benefit from the spirit within, from the anointing within. Now, this is the anointing, the first level of anointing that brought you salvation. There are five ways to benefit from it. You would like to know. Now, because people want to be like Christ. People want to truly be Christ-like. Bear the fruits. You want to know how the dynamics of that anointing within. The operations. There are five dynamics. One is to experience constant renewal. We've talked about that. Two is to be led by the Spirit. Three is to walk in the Spirit. This one is walking in godliness, walking in love, and is his own topic, because this is where many people fail. Why a lot of people are not living above sin. I wish I would get the opportunity to talk about it before we leave. But why a lot of people are not conquering the flesh? Because this is where subduing the flesh, living above sin, living in holiness, walking in. And the first thing about walking in the Spirit is actually walking in love and bearing the fruits of the Spirit. When you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh, and you'll be walking in adultery, immorality, the works of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is so important, and there are secrets to that. Because we're not supposed to be struggling. There are secrets to that. The fourth is what I'll discuss. The fourth is learning the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is a laid down statute in Scripture for every believer. But these modern day Christians are not taught it. Please put up that song that you sang.
Oh Lord, set my heart on fire for you.
That's the song, yeah.
For you. In order for you, for you. I want to know your heart.
Amen. The Lord really impressed on me that I should talk to you about this one, even if I don't do any other one. It's the way of the Spirit. Because the modern day believer is not taught it. So, and this is where people fall off. A ministry, when people turn against the ministry that once blessed them, is because of this area. When people turn against Jesus that once saved them, is because of this area. When people turn against God and turn away from Him, is because of this area. They misunderstand the way of the Spirit. We just talked about God's leading. See, there is a statue. It's a statue. It's an ordinance. It's an established fact. And anyone that will live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. If you don't go through persecution of human beings attacking you, or maybe media, or somebody writing about you, you will go through trials, because that is the only way you go from a child of God to a son. The only means for maturity is not just feeding on the word. If they like, let them teach you the things that Jesus didn't know, you will still not mature. It's the trials that finally matures you that bring out a son. That's why God uses that. It's a statue. It's an ordinance. That when the Spirit starts leading your life, is going to lead you into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. There will be times the Holy Spirit will lead you into very tough situations, and you will be wondering, how can this be God? It's also that time that people turn against God. And Jesus, being full of the Spirit, returned from Jordan. And what did the Holy Spirit do to this newly anointed young man, 30 years old? He was led of the Spirit into where?
Holy Spirit, this cannot be you. Do you know what I'm going through here? That's Holy Spirit. Because generals are not trained in the palace. They don't even train in this kind of... All these trainings we are giving you need to be processed though. To process it so that you can be the kind of man you've been crying about since yesterday. The man that go after God is trials that precipitates that. Is how new phases of promotion come in the spirit. You know, I was talking to you about it. That's how I had to learn this one by experience. I actually thought God hated me. You see that, like that time, at the book read, the rain was drizzling. Is how they grow strong faith in people. You know how you grow strong muscles? You already have the muscles, but you have to use it against something, lift weight, or box something. Then that muscle will start swelling. And after a while, the way strong faith is grown, the way very strong believers, people that carry tremendous spiritual authority, is that they have to go through trial. All that faith, all this fruit of the spirit will be tested against something. This guy will come on your case. It's your patience they want to grow. You pray him out. Woo. Like, take care of your marriage. What is that you are trying to run away from that marriage to divorce? It's not sending you anywhere. That marriage is a blessing. That's the marriage that will perfect you in Christ. You see that thing you are talking up and down? Calm down, my friend. Marriage is the greatest school for growing character. It's the greatest school for developing the fruit of the spirit. What makes marriage work? Fruit of the spirit. Why are you complaining? Because you don't have it. So settle down and grow it. God will send some people that will be on your nerves. He will allow certain people. Do you know that he anointed David king? The boy was 17. Before that guy tested the throne, he was 30. What was happening for 13 years? Saul was looking for him everywhere. The guy was hiding in wilderness. He will come out of this cave. Saul will appear. And these are the type of enemies you pray. Let them die. They don't die. Why? Because the training has not been completed. Why will he die? He's your trainer. You are saying, you go to gym to build muscle. Then you say, let the instructor die. The instructor will not die because you have not finished building the thing. You say you want to be a world champion boxer. You say you want to be a Ronaldo, a world champion footballer. That coach is not dying anywhere. That's why he pours water on you at 4 a.m. Wake up. You have to go and exercise. Anytime you cry for promotion, get ready. There is something that precipitates the next level from the other level. Trial. After this, he came out with the power of the Spirit and had 3.5 years of terrific ministry. When he wanted to be promoted to the level of King of Kings, cross came again. When God looks at his son as he's going and he sees some excesses somewhere, and I need to take this man deeper to a new height, he allows trials. They can be wrong, saying whatever, but the my perfection, the maturing happens. The absence of this training is not making people think, because in the way of the spirit, God uses two instruments: human beings in authority over you and wilderness. Watch now, Reverend. Watch. Moses spent 40 years in wilderness, David 13 years, 17 to 30, Joseph 13 years. But Jesus spent only 40 days. So I said to the Lord, the children of Israel spent 40 years and all died there. They didn't pass the exam. Moses spent 40 years and passed. And David, a man after God, has spent the whole 13 years of his life. J Jacob, that one that used to deceive people, spent 20 solid years in the wilderness. What Laban did to him, to get the man that later became the patriarch, that we now say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It was that thing that produced the Jacob that we know. Not that thing that he stole his brother's blessing. But Jesus spent only 40 days. Not even up to 1 year. So I said to him, Lord, what is going on? You dodged this thing, oh. He says, see, there are two tools. If you spend enough time under mentors and tutors and trainers and allow them to correct you, you spend a short time in the wilderness. If you reject the trainers, the instructors, the guide, the mentors that I gave you, you are going to burn years and you might have a chance of dying there. Maybe he has never dawned on you the processes that Jesus went through. I laid hands, he went to Israel and they gave us a book about the making of Jesus, the missing 18 years of his life. From the time, because the Bible said literally about it, from the time he was 12 was the last record. He came back from Egypt as a baby. They took off to Egypt because Herod was trying to kill him. But they came back at the age of 12. So the first record is that he was in the temple. They went to the temple for ceremony in Jerusalem. The parents were going. He stayed back in the temple talking with doctors of the law and all that. All this minister at 12, minister at 6. And with the parents, after traveling for 3 days, and I have made the journey, so I know exactly what they're talking about. They had to travel back because they found that he was not with them in the chariot. So probably a week's journey, and they finally found him in the temple in the midst of these people. The Bible said he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all this in his heart. What did the mother keep? Because he told the parents, didn't you know I will be about my father's business? He started 18 years later that you should go for that business. For now, you need to be trained. Anything you're doing now, want to launch your ministry now, is a joke. To go and preach to doctors or law, joke. You need to be trained. If you like, be son of God or son of man. If he had not submitted to them, he would have paid dearly in the wilderness with Satan. With life, he submitted to them. So the next verse said, look at the next verse, 52. And the child grew in wisdom, and grew in stature, and grew in favor with God and with men. Things that parents taught him. Now, according to the record of really what happened, he said there were 3 seasons of training under mentorship. 3. And each one lasted for 6 years. The Jewish system is, your Jewish brother can come and do apprenticeship for you 6 years. At 7 year, he release. So if he needs another thing he needs to learn, he can go and do that. First 6 years, he was under his parent. The person he had to study is Joseph. You see, when a Jewish boy gets to 12, at the year 13, there is a weaning from the mother. 1 to 12, they leave the boy with women. Not his mommy, you mommy, whatever. Study about Isaac, for example, or Ishmael at 13. It's time to win you for women. You go and join the men. Whatever is a family profession, you join it. You have 6 years to learn that. That's why at 18, a Jewish boy is doing things that our boys in Africa are still in school, coding their pampers. At 18, they can defend the country. Go to Israel. Some of you will come with us. You will see what I'm saying. This ID, Israeli Defense Force. Many of them are teenagers, 18, 19, 20. Defending, flying all those jets. So the first 6 years, he went to understudy the family business called carpentry. It was with Joseph. I learned that after that, it wasn't long further down, Joseph died. As at the time Jesus launched his ministry, Joseph was not alive. You will never see anywhere his name is mentioned. It's Mary and the brothers. So he learned carpentry and practiced carpentry. At the age of 18, he has completed that training. So his 19th year, they sent him to an uncle that was a rabbi. Listen now. That's another 6 years. And here now, and they still have these schools in Israel. You see those small kids, they wear this cap on top. And you see all those old rabbis, whatever. They put them in this school where they are training in a rabbinical school. The whole Old Testament Bible. When you finish, you carry the whole Bible in your head. You know all the interpretation of prophecies. These professors of the law and other. 6 years is what he spent there. He came out of that place. There was another school again. And he went there. Because by the time he was through with this one, he was 6 years away from the deadline. The graduating year, which is the seventh year, he went to the third school. Burnt another 6 years. By the time he was through, he was about 29 years. There is nothing about Israel from their business life to religious life to anything that he didn't know. Of course, as at that time, if you notice, at the age of 30, the next year, what he did was to go to John and they released power inside him. You see, 18 years of training, just one day, Holy Ghost fell. No wasting time. Holy Ghost on top of character, on top of experience, on top of training, on top of skill. When he came out of that experience of the Holy Spirit, the wilderness, and came into the temple, the Bible said he went into the temple and took the scroll, stood up to read as his custom was. As his what? He grew up not missing one service. He grew up taking all the training. He has also become a rabbi. The name they call him is rabbi. Everyone say rabbi. So what those doctors of the law, he has also been trained like them. Now, the difference between him and them now is what? That's why almost every teaching of Jesus, I can take you to the book in the Old Testament where he got it. He did not invent one revelation. One teaching, not one. Where he said, love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord. You go to Deuteronomy 6, you just see where he picked it from. Anything is from Psalms, the prophets, or the book, five books of Moses. That's where. But with the Spirit now, he started giving it the understanding that shook the nation of Israel. What we are doing today is power on top of nothing. No character, no training, no formation, nothing. Rascal carrying anointing. No discipline. No self-control. He can't even control his sexual passion. He's carrying power and he's running up and down. He doesn't understand submission. You think Jesus would have found it easy submitting to the Heavenly Father if he didn't submit to the Earthly Father? When he got to Gethsemane and he was saying, not my will. When he completed that training, the Holy Spirit, according to the statue of the kingdom, must lead God's son through God's ways. And God's ways is the metamorphosis to produce a chicken out of an egg requires heat. To produce a butterfly out of a maggot requires heat. That to produce a son out of a child of God requires wilderness. Exodus chapter 14. Let me show you something. When the Lord brought the children of out of Egypt, he led them not through the way of the Philistine, even though he was near. He led them through the wilderness. Exodus 13 from verse 17. This is typical of the Holy Spirit. I say it's a statue. Not something he started today. So if you're looking for an exemption, you don't want to reach sonship. The Holy Spirit method is when he brings you out of Egypt, he's not leading you to promised land straight. He shows you the promises, shows you the future. Then he takes you through the wilderness. If you follow him and submit to those trying times, very tough. You can see me threatening God in those days. He didn't shake anybody. Some of the things we went through. If I did not sleep on the floor, if I did not go through all those months of hunger, I did not go through all those times where you don't even have money to pay for venue, there's no way I can be who I am. I will not be qualified for this level, and even if you are to bring me there, I will lose it overnight because I won't be able to manage it. The character and the discipline to lead a great ministry is shaped in the fullness of affliction. There is no real prophet that was what he sought. There is no training in the wilderness. If you want the kind of anointing you are crying to God yesterday for, you want to be in that group. I showed you the spirit of glory rests upon people that has gone through trials and persecutions. The type of anointing you are asking for, special anointing, it doesn't come common. Submit to the pastor that you are given. Submit to the leader. So they will look like they are senseless. This man is not sensitive. How can he be overworking me like this? You have not seen anything. Come up to leadership. Then you will see what is work. That one they are giving you is akamu. It's baby milk. He said, I don't understand. I just finished sowing. Why is Pastor not doing it again? Why is he stressing everybody? Come up to leadership. Then it won't be Pastor Nob. It will be you that will be raising that fund. And now it's millions. Then you understand what Pastor Nob was going through. You did not sow. You did not go through that. Deprive yourself. The days to relax in plenty, you will never be there. The Bible said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. It came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistine, although he was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. See the issue. A person that is not trained through wilderness cannot take any hard thing. These people did not know that when they get to their land of destiny, that they have to deal with giants. And so what God was doing is that I had to prepare them and toughen them. They didn't know. Because God can't tell, if he tells you all the things you're going to go through, you say, no, please, find somebody else. He said, I thought you told us, you're taking us to the promised land. We have already started to see all these giants, Philistines. Moses, bye-bye. We'll just go. So, Jesus' mother and father took 7 days to do, just to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem, 2 hours drive in a car. Then to go from Jerusalem to the Arabian Peninsula, where Mount Sinai is. Mount Sinai. From Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, that Jerusalem, took them 40 years. To do it is 40 days trekking. And with a vehicle, you drive it in a few hours. It's part of the tour you do. You visit Mount Sinai, where Moses got the Ten Commandments. And you drive back the same day, back to Jerusalem. And I said to myself, is this issue? And this, we spent 40 years doing this. That journey was 40 days walk with leg. Actually, you can even make it earlier if you want to move faster. But considering the children, the animals, and all the things that are done, 40 days. How long did he take this? 40 years. What is the problem? Jesus did it in 40 days. They are doing it in 40 years. The mentor God gave them, Moses, they fought him to a standstill. Every way is rebellion. Every step is rebellion. Every move is rebellion. Every move is rebellion. Finally, God said, I will show you.
This is the end of this part. Please play the next tape in the series.